Gita, in the core of the heart. Sada, always. Bhaktya, by devotional service. Kevalaya, alone. Ajnanam, ignorance. Dunoti, cleans. Dvantam, darkness. Arkavat, as the sun. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences, is predominant within the core of your heart because of your being a pure devotee. He always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. Please repeat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Who is full of all opulences.
Full of all opulences.
Is predominant within the core of your heart.
Predominant within the core of your heart.
Because of your being a pure devotee.
Because of your being a pure devotee.
He drives away all the darkness of ignorance.
He drives away all the darkness of ignorance.
As the sun drives away the darkness of the universe.
As the sun drives away the darkness of the universe.
Purport. The word bhaktya, kevalaya, indicate that simply by executing devotional service, one can become full of all knowledge. Krishna is the master of all knowledge. Aishvaryasya samagrasya, viryasya yashasya striyaha. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. Ishvara sarabhudanam riddeshe arjunatishtati. And when the Lord is pleased with the devotee, the Lord instructs him. Only to the devotee, however, does the Lord give instructions by which to advance further and further in devotional service. To others, the non-devotees, the Lord gives instructions according to the manner of their surrender. The pure devotee is described by the words bhaktya kevalaya. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains that bhaktya kevalaya means jnana karma dhyana mishraya, unmixed with fruitive activities or speculative knowledge. Simply surrendering at the lotus feet is the cause of all a devotee's enlightenment and awareness. Text 22 again. Yasya narayano devo bhagavan ridgata siddha bhaktya kevalaya jnanam dunoti dvantam arkavat. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is full of all opulences, is predominant within the core of your heart because of your being a pure devotee. He always drives away all the darkness of ignorance as the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Padaya Srimate Bhakti Viranta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Gauravani Vacharani Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatya De Siddharani. So what does this mean? Yasya Narayano Devo Bhagavan Rigata Sada. What does that mean? What does Yasya mean? What's that?
Of
them. Something. Of whom, here it says. Usually means of them or of him or of someone. Of whom? And Narayan, of course, we know that. Devo. Narayano Devo. What does Narayano, Narayana Deva mean? Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? And Bhagavan? Rigata. At least one person knows him. Hopefully when he goes back to Godhead, we'll all go back to Godhead with him. Sada. What does Sada mean?
Always.
Bhaktya.
By
what? And Kevalaya. Only. And Ajnanam. Darkness or ignorance. Dunoti. What is Dunoti? One of the ladies. Ever hear Dunoti? Shrinvitam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravanam Kirtana Ridanstaksto Abhidrani Vidunoti Saritsita Vidunoti Saritsita. What does Lord Narayan do? If you hear Bhagavata? What's that? Yeah, so what does Dunoti mean? Cleaning, yes. And Dvantam?
Darkness.
Darkness, yes. Arkava?
Light.
Sun. Like the sun. As the sun. Arkava. Where else do we have the word arka? How does it start? Krishna Dharma Upagvade. Dharma. Jnana Dharma Jivisaha. Kalo Dosha. Kalo Nashtap. Yes. Purana Kodino Udikaha. So, what's the translation? Supreme Personality of God is full of all opulences, is the predominant within the core of your heart because of your being a pure devotee. So what's the word for why? Where does it say he's pure devotee here? Yes. So, and he drives away all the darkness of ignorance. Which part is that? As the sun drives away the darkness of the universe. What's that? Yes. So this is the point, is that if one is a Narayan, he has unlimited power, and he's in the heart of all living entities, but especially he reciprocates with the devotee by driving away ignorance. That's the advantage of being a devotee. For others, Krishna is also in their heart, and he's giving them their desires. In the beginning of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna, says, Idam tu te guyatamam pravaksham anushuyave jnana vijnanam sayitam yajgyatam osu seishubha. Because you are never envious of me. So that's the main problem in the material world, is that we're envious of Krishna. In the beginning of the 4th chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna that I'm going to explain to you this knowledge because you have two qualifications. What are those two qualifications?
Bhaktosi
me sakha. Yes. Bhaktosi me sakha chetis rahasam hiyatar uttama. How does that verse begin? Evam parampara praptami mamre darshiyo sudhu sakaleni ha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. What's that? What's that?
Sa evam
maya tedya yoga prota pradhana bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam hiyatat uttama. Therefore, I'm going to explain to you this most confidential knowledge and realization. Because you're my devotee as well as my friend. So what is the symptom that one is envious of Krishna? Is that one wants to enjoy separate from Krishna. One wants to lord it over Krishna's energy in order to enjoy separately from him. Therefore, one has to be devotee of Krishna. But people, they think that what is this devotional service? It's not so important. Therefore, Krishna says, Raja Guyam, Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, Pavitram Idam Udamam, Pravaksha Vargamam Dharmyam, Susukam Kartum Avyam. It's the king of knowledge. It's not some sentiment, devotional service. It's the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of all religion. It is everlasting and is joyfully performed. Unfortunately, most people can't appreciate devotional service Therefore, Krishna says, Ashvadadana Purusha Dharamasya Siparantapa Aprapyamam Nivartante Mrityu Samsaravartana. Those who are not on this, faithful on this path can't achieve me, and therefore they come back to repeated birth and death. So we may take up the path of devotional service half-heartedly, not with really full conviction and full surrender. And therefore, even though we may be somehow or another feel ourselves to be safe because we're on the path of bhakti, but still, unless we take it wholeheartedly, we still have to come back to repeated birth and death. So whose fault is that? Is it Krishna's fault or is it our fault? Therefore, Krishna will explain that he's not really responsible for what's going on in the material world. He elaborately explains, Maya tatamidam sarvam jagada vyakta moratina matstani sarabhutani na chaham te shuvashtitaha achamatstani bhutani paishame yogamaisharam bhutabrena chabhutasto mamatma bhutabhavanaha yataka shastito nityam vayu sarvatragomahan tata sarvani bhutani matstani tipadarya. That, behold my mystic opulence, Krishna says, although my energies are everywhere, and I pervade everything in the form of the super soul, and everything is under my control, but still I'm not part of the material nature. So this, Krishna says, this is my inconceivable opulence. Although I'm maintaining all living entities, still I'm aloof. I'm maintaining the cosmic creation, all living entities, but still I'm aloof. So Krishna is trying to explain that yes, everything depends upon him, but he's not responsible for what's going on. Then he says, Sarabhutani kundiya prakatim yanti mamikam kapashe punastani kapadovashijami ham prakatim swamavashtabhya vishvijami punak punak putagramamimam krishnamavasham prakatir vasha. That Sarabhutani kundiya prakatim yanti mamika, that at the beginning of creation, all living entities come forth from my creation, and then at the end of the annihilation, they all merge back into me. And again, the creation's coming, and again, it's being annihilated. But nachamatstani bhuta, nachamatani karmani, nivananti dananjaya, udasinadvarasinama saktam teshu karmasu. All this work cannot bind me, I am ever detached, seated as though neutral. That if we, for instance, if we lost a pencil that was valuable or a valuable golden pen, we become very disturbed, looking everywhere for it. Where is my pen? You stole it. I know you stole it. Etc. Because we're very attached. But Krishna, he's creating millions and billions of universes and all the planets they're in, maintaining them. And then, at the time it's supposed to annihilate, be annihilated, he annihilates everything. He doesn't think, well, I can't annihilate that universe. It was such a cute universe, and everyone loved me there. So how can I annihilate it? Just let me put it aside and make a special exception for this universe. No, at the time of annihilation, Krishna annihilates all the universes, and then when it's time to create them, he creates them again. He's completely aloof. So this is, Krishna says, is yoga aishwarya, is inconceivable opulence, because, especially in relationships, if someone maintains us, we become very attached to them. The mother maintains the child, she becomes attached to the child, and the child reciprocates by becoming attached to the mother. For Krishna is maintaining unlimited living entities, unlimited universes, and he's aloof. Not unconcerned, but he awards everyone, as Krishna says, Maya Dakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara Hetu Nanena Kundiya Jagatvi Parivartate. That all this work, that this material nature works under my direction, producing all moving and non-moving beings, and by its rule this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So Krishna simply sits there doing his duty as Paramatma, sensing the desires of living entities, just like one can understand the smell of a flower by being next to it. And then, according to our desires and what we deserve, Krishna tells the material nature to arrange itself in a certain way in order to fulfill our desires according to what we deserve. So Krishna, he rather not that there be a universal manifestation. He rather that all living entities be in the spiritual world, but the living entities don't all want to be in the spiritual world, and Krishna is the only one who can facilitate to fulfilling their perverted materialistic desires. So therefore he does his duty and sits in everyone's heart and fulfills their desires according to what they deserve. So whatever we're desiring, Krishna will note and he'll reciprocate with us. Yanti deva vrata devan petri yanti patri vrataha bhutani yanti bhuteja yanti madhyajino prima. If we hear about the glories of becoming a ghost and we think that's a good idea, let me become a ghost, try that out for a few lifetimes, and let me take to the process to become a ghost, because there is a process to become a ghost. You take intoxication and perform sinful activities. You follow the prescribed method of becoming a ghost, and sure enough, you'll become a ghost. Even in this life, or after leaving this body, you'll be ghostly or a ghost, a genuine, 100% bona fide ghost. And then to qualify to not become a ghost, if you find out that that was not actually what you wanted, was to become a ghost, then you have to work hard to become qualified to become something other than a ghost. Because to become a ghost takes a lot of effort. You have to practice over a long period of time and take shelter of many ghostly persons in order to become a ghost. So therefore, to become unghosted, it takes some time. And if you want to become a demigod, also there's a process. It's not so easy. You have to follow very prescribed methods of sacrifice according to the Vedic literature, come to the mode of goodness, and then one becomes a demigod. Similarly, if one wants to be born as an ordinary living, a pitri, one wants to go to that level of higher planets, one also has to perform certain sacrifices and live life in a certain way, think in a certain way. It takes some discipline to become anything, a ghost, a demigod, a pitri, or to go back to Godhead. It simply depends upon what we want. And of course, that depends upon who we think is worthy of hearing from. And who do we hear from? Persons we want to become like. If we want to become like a ghost, then we'll hear from ghostly people. There's many ghostly people that people hear from. Just like you take the Rolling Stones or other music groups, they're like ghostly people. But they're very popular because people want to become ghostly like they are. They think then they'll be happy. Rich ghosts, of course, they don't want to become poor ghosts, they want to become rich ghostly people. And if one wants to become demigods, it's very rare to find any demigod-like person within modern society. So most people aren't really aiming towards any kind of higher consciousness, very rarely. But many people are trying to become ghostly or some kind of yaksha or rakshasa type of person in the mode of passion. And they hear from, watch television, watch the movies, read books, and they all glorify and explain the method of becoming similarly ghostly haunted or materially powerful and materially opulent like those persons are. And there's a process. And if one follows it, the Krishna will see that this person is really determined to become just like that other person, and therefore he'll give all intelligence so one can go and become exactly like that person. Mahajano yena kata sapanda. Tarka apratishta shutya vivina nasavari shir yasyana vinam. Dharmasya tatvam mihitam guhayam. Mahajano yena kata sapanda. And just arguing won't really get us anywhere. People argue with each other, usually just for the sake of argument, to win the argument. They don't really want to learn anything. They just want to, somehow or another, defeat. There's different types of vitanda, vada, pravata. So there's different types of arguing. And usually people are just interested in defeating the other person rather than gaining any knowledge. So therefore, tarka apratishta, just by arguments, things can't become clarified. and Shuddha Avivina. There are so many different scriptures, and they glorify so many demigods. They glorify so many other living entities. They describe everything in the Vedic literature. So just by studying the Vedas, as William Blake said, we read the Bible day and night. I read black and you read white. So we may read the scriptures and come up with our own conclusion. There's even a scripture I was told that for the persons in the mode of ignorance, they describe the Ramayana, and in that description of the Ramayana, Ravana is the hero. And Lord Ramachandra is the villain, the demon. And they glorified Lord Ravana, and explained how by some tricky dealings that this demoniac person, the Ramachandra, won. Just because he couldn't become unattached to his wife. Too much attached. Therefore, everyone will see Atmanam Manite to God. Everyone will see things from their point of view. So when we read the scriptures, we'll read it from our point of view. And Nasabri Shari Yasyana Binam, and there are many different rishis who are learned, but they have their own point of view. Therefore, they'll argue with each other and we won't be able to understand what is the real path. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. And if we want to learn what the path is, then mahajana yena katasapanda, we have to ultimately, when it gets down to it, the bottom line is we choose someone and we follow them. For those in the mode of ignorance, they'll choose someone like Ravana or Hiranyakashipu as their leader. Or maybe the modern day Hiranyakashipus and Ravanas, whoever they may be. And for those in the mode of passion, they'll choose someone like Bill Gates or someone else as their leader and try to get materially opulent so they can enjoy as much sense gratification as possible. And those in the mode of goodness, they may choose, I don't know who exemplifies the mode of goodness in modern society.
Deepak Chopra.
What's that?
Deepak Chopra.
Well,
he's the closest.
Mixed modes of ignorance, passion, a little tinge of goodness. They'll choose someone with a little tinge of goodness. And they'll hear from them, they'll sacrifice their energies in order to follow his instructions, and then they'll get wherever he's going. Prabhupada said, if you want to find Narada Muni, you want to meet Narada Muni, just find out where his footsteps are, and just follow them. Eventually you'll meet him. So everyone has their Mahajan or Mahajans, and everyone is following them. It is not that anyone is acting independently. So here it says, Bhaktya Kevala Kevalaya. What is that verse? Bhaktya Kevala? No. What's the first word of that verse? Kevala Bhakta. Kevala Bhakta. Dinoti. It's in the sixth canto. Does anyone know that verse? Bhaktya Kevala something. Bhaktya. That bhakti drives away the darkness just like the sun drives away the fog. In any case, if one chooses Kevala Bhakta, then by such Kevala Bhakta, Bhaktya, the result is that one can see things properly. We can understand what our interest is. Without following the idea of following the Vedic processes, which are not so available nowadays, such as sacrifices and austerities and penances and charity, is that one can eventually come to the mode of goodness and then realize the value of devotional service. Or if one performs devotional service, then one will also naturally experience what the value of devotional service is. And by such experience of devotional service, this is what one should find, is that one becomes enlivened and enlightened progressively by performing proper devotional service. So, therefore, Prahlad Maharaj was glorifying this particular devotee because he was a devotee of Narayan. He was trying to remember Narayan. That by becoming conscious of Krishna, that Krishna he cleanses the heart from material enjoyment. The more we do things for Krishna, to please Krishna, then the more Krishna appears within the heart, and the more Krishna appears within the heart, the more we can experience the superior level of consciousness that one is on when one is conscious of Krishna. And if one does something for someone else, following someone else's instructions to please someone else, directly or indirectly, that person will appear within our heart and we'll have to experience the reactions of associating with such persons. If you listen constantly to the Rolling Stones, or the Beatles even, then the result is that they'll appear within your heart and you'll have to go wherever they go. And I guarantee you, wherever they're going is not very auspicious. I'm sure if they get the body of a stone, they'll be doing quite well for themselves. And I'm sure they'll keep on rolling that stone. And some of those Beatles, if they become a Beatle, they'll be doing quite good also. Therefore, to hear from such persons, to follow their example, to glorify them, means that we have to follow and go wherever they're going. Yayatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. And it is not that Krishna wants us to go there, but that's what we've chosen. Of course, in modern society, people generally don't know there's an alternative. They think there's an alternative. They think whether they choose to smoke camels or they choose to smoke Salem, that's their choice. That's what choice means. No one's going to tell me what to do. Just my senses. So this is not real choice. Ultimately, real choice is where we want to go. If we want to go back to the spiritual world, then we're actually making a choice, a positive choice. And if we want to go to hell, we're also making a choice, but it's not very positive or beneficial. But modern society is very much interested in giving people so many choices, whether you want to go to hell slowly, or you want to take a supersonic plane there and get there faster than anyone else. That's more or less the choices in modern society. And there is a great endeavor to educate people, to convince them that although all the symptoms of hell are approaching, they're convincing people it's actually heaven. Although all the bad omens are there, but people are thinking, actually, this is heaven, although it's really hell. So this is called the mode of ignorance. Adharmam dharma itiya manyate tamasa vritaha sarvatam viparitamascha pudisa paratha tamasi. They think that religion is irreligion, and irreligion is religion, and therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. But if they hear about God, then they become very disturbed that you have to surrender to God, because they have no idea who God is, so how can they even think about surrendering to Him? Their conception of God is that He's a controller, and He's controlling, and He's giving us, more or less frustrating us, and giving us although we're trying to enjoy getting a little bit of happiness, He's standing over us with a big club, and as soon as we try in the slightest to be happy, they immediately whacks us with the club and makes us 100 times more miserable than we were before. So you surrender to God, the best you can do is wind up in some cloud and who knows where, sitting there bored for eternity playing some harp, or maybe a horn, depends on how many, if they ran out of harps, then you get a horn. So this conception of God, of course, is not very enlivening. Nor is it actually is a true enlightenment. It is simply a misconception. But because people don't know, because they don't hear from the right sources with the right attitude, because they're not trained up, first of all, to be submissive to anyone, although they are trained up to be submissive, but to a very select audience, it's a very select group of directors. Namely, everyone who talks about how to make this body better, enjoy the senses more, they're taught that that's the actual saviors. Those are the actual saints who can tell you the true direction in life and how to achieve it. So people are taught, and then anyone who talks about something transcendental beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intelligence, something spiritual, then they're just deluding you. Because there's no such thing. It doesn't exist. There's no soul. There's no God. There's no karma. There's nothing. In other words, there's only, the only reality is demoniac reality. Asatyam apratishtam te jagato horanishram aparashparam sambhutyam kimanyak kama haitukam. That the bottom line is kama haitukam. That lust is the actual basis of everything. That there's no God. There is no laws behind nature. There is no reason behind anything. Everything is just a chance happening. And if there's any ultimate purpose behind things, it's just to fulfill lust. And if we fulfill lust, that's the ultimate happiness possible. And therefore, one should try very hard to fulfill the lust. But Krishna says, etam dristima vashtavya, nashtatmano na buddhaya, pravat yugra karmana, shaye jagatohita. Following such conclusions and loss of themselves, the demoniac create horrible, unbeneficial works which are meant to destroy the world. So here it says that we should try to become as aware as possible of what devotional service to Krishna means. Because the more we hear in the right attitude, from the right sources about what devotional service is, the more we become enlivened to perform it, then the result is our heart becomes cleansed and we feel real happiness. We begin to understand things properly, understand what is the factual direction to obtain permanent happiness, and all the misconceptions that are covered over with, not only since time immemorial, they're gradually eliminated, and one can actually understand who we are and what our purpose in life is. And ultimately, we're aiming for bhaktiya kevalaya. So people, they criticize that these people are fanatics. All they're doing is trying to become devotees. Of course, if someone becomes a concert pianist, no one says, this guy's a fanatic. All he does is play the piano all day. Why should we listen to him? Find someone more normal who doesn't practice so much the piano. Or if someone wins a... There's a person named Tiger Woods. So he's estimated he'll make $1 billion eventually from playing golf, from hitting with a stick, hitting a little ball into a hole. So no one criticizes, what is this guy wasting his time with some stick just hitting this ball? Why doesn't he do something useful for people? Does anyone criticize he spends his whole day just hitting a stick and this ball together? No, people glorify him and give him unlimited amount of money. So in every other sphere of life, Olympic swimming, golf, big businessman, do we think that Bill Gates doesn't spend any time working with Microsoft because he doesn't want to be considered a fanatic about computer programs? No, in every sphere outside the spiritual sphere, people are considered to be glorifiable because of their dedication to that particular endeavor. But when it comes to spirit, people, they say, oh, they're fanatics. They're wasting so much time trying to become spiritual. The bottom line is they don't believe in spirit. That's why they think they're wasting time. They can become dedicated, fanatical about something more worthwhile, like collecting butterflies or something like that. Becoming an expert tennis player, so you can hit a little ball over a net. Then you're considered to be a good person. Not only a good person, but they'll interview you on whether they should, you know, fight against Iraq or not. Because you're expert at hitting this ball over the net. Therefore, you should be interviewed about every subject. So people are in ignorance, and we shouldn't take them very seriously. They have their own set of criteria, priorities of life, and what's good and what's bad. But it's all, practically speaking, mind society, it's all in the mode of ignorance. It's childish, actually. So to take them seriously would not be very beneficial. So I think I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any comments? Questions? Yes. Why shouldn't it be a lot? Yeah, it's more than anything else. It requires more dedication. Because it's the most subtle. Yeah, it's the most difficult. It means that one has to be one-pointed. But everyone's trying to do that, whatever they're doing. Just like, for instance, if you want to play, as I pointed out the other day here, I don't know if it was here, but if you want to play what's the most popular sport? Cricket. Because then you have to know how to play cricket. You have to learn the rules and regulations and follow them. You have to hit the little ball. You can't hit the umpire. You have to know what to do. You have to stand in a certain way. You can't try and hit the ball with your feet. You got to hit it with the bat. There's an asana. You got to use your energy to do it. You have to know when to hit the ball. You have to not be distracted by other things. You have to concentrate on the ball, you have to know where to hit it, and then when you hit it, then you're in samadhi. So, everything requires that. Understanding what's to be done, what's not to be done, how to do it, and use your energy to do it, not become distracted, concentrate on it, and in order to accomplish anything, according to how much you can understand things and concentrate on doing it, to that degree you become successful in anything. But to speak of spiritual life. Anything else? Yes.
I've been doing a lot of things, but I was basically a nice Christian, so I get some phonetics as well. I'm just wondering what category to put them in. What is it, kind of a monistic? Because you know, Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. Are they kind of a monistic philosophy?
Oh, I don't know. They're all different. Just because they say that Jesus Christ is the only way, that's good, and just tell them to follow it. Accept Him within your heart, and then you'll have peace of mind. Tell them that we also accept Jesus Christ, but we're fallen, so. But you know, their philosophy is that if you ask them how strictly they follow, they say they don't follow so well because they're, you know, it's difficult. So you say, actually, we're also Christians, and we also try and surrender to Jesus Christ, but. Because the flesh is weak, therefore we also have to we do other things like chant Hare Krishna and things like that. Because we're not able to, you know, completely. We're not so elevated that so. Better not to deal. Better not to even deal with them. It's just a waste of time. Just tell them, praise the Lord. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandha Rashimad Bhagavatam Kidai. Srila Prabhupada Kidai. Guru Pramananda.